I'm an entrepreneur with a mission to share unique business journeys, workflow and client experience tips, and entrepreneurial advice through fun and easygoing conversations with pros and peers. I'm Cassie, and I'm your host. Let's grab drinks after work every Thursday as we banter and brainstorm. With a shot of business and a splash of pleasure, this is the Mastermind Mixer. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Mastermind Mixer. Today, I have Shaylee here. Hi, Shaylee.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's very sunny out today where I'm at. So,
good. Where are you?
I'm located in Massachusetts.
That's oh, fun. Oh, yeah. So, like, the sun is probably, you're, like, grateful for it when it comes.
Yeah. It was rainy a few days ago, so.
Oh, yeah. So, Shaylee, you're a business coach, but I want you to tell us all the things about your business and who you serve and things like that.
Yeah. So I've been officially a business coach for about a year, but I have been strategizing and mentoring since 2021. So I actually started off as an online business manager and did a lot of high level strategy, mentoring clients with already established businesses. So I really focus on coaches in the coaching industry, course creators and agency owners. So they are online business owners. I do some brick and mortar, but really my specialty is online business owners really looking to scale and grow their business through operations and delegation and strategy.
Cool. I'm an online business manager, so I'm like, should we be talking more? Send me your packages. So tell me, you were corporate first, right? So you pre-2020 is what I'm getting at. Like, what happened around 2020? Like, what were you doing before? Like, did you always know you were going to go out on your own? What did you think?
So that was always a plan. So my origin story, my lore, as they say, is so I come from a family of entrepreneurs. That is my claim to fame of how I started booking my clients back in 2020 when I was just a little baby entrepreneur. But I've actually been about entrepreneurship my whole life. My parents owned a construction company when I was young. My earliest memory was like learning how to put down tile and negotiating like $2 an hour with my bio dad. And so really kind of like that spark, that's all I've ever kind of known in terms of like all I have a ton of family members. My brother started a business when he was 18, and this was back in 98, because we're 11 years apart. So again, really just like everyone in my family. But for me, I was a little bit different. As much as entrepreneurship gave a lot of flexibility and a lot of opportunity, it also was very not consistent in terms of like time. So my parents never really worked up until, you know, I was much older, a traditional job. So there was no like 9 to 5 or sitting down for dinner all the time. Like, we did a lot of stuff together, but it was very much me going with my parents to, you know, different job sites or, you know, different meetings they were going to or whatnot. So definitely was very involved. And as a kid, I wanted to kind of be like everyone else, which I think a lot of kids are like that. Yeah. Now being older, I definitely appreciate it because I don't know if I would be where I'm at without that exposure at such an early age. But I didn't always want to be an entrepreneur. I actually very much wanted to stay in corporate, climb the corporate ladder. That just sounded cool. I had aspirations of being like a director or VP by 30. And some kind of like communication. I originally wanted to be an actress. And so that was like a big goal for many, many years in my like late teens, early 20s. And it kind of just was really organic how I got into the field. I started freelancing back in 2012, very, very freelance, just with people that my family knew that needed different support. So it started with administrative, and then it got into just like UX design and really like how things work. So my basis was I'm a very curious kid. I was a curious kid. I'm a curious adult. So I'm the type of person, like, I'll ask you so many questions, which works very well being a coach and working in operations. Yeah. And so in 2020, I actually had a job. I graduated in 2018. I got a full-time job. It was a learning experience is what I will say. I was an administrative assistant office manager, managed a multi six-figure budget at like 26, telling people like in their 40s and 50s, like, you can't buy that, you can't spend that. So a lot of responsibility for someone who was very young and a very structured. Like, I was a server throughout college. I was obviously very freelancing. I always like to try new things. So for me, the idea of structure sounded good, but when I was in a structured place where like you had to do the 9 to 5 and there was a lot of people to not necessarily like answer to, but there was always eyes on you, especially in my position, I didn't enjoy it as much. And also, I went to college, and I'm like, all the other administrative assistants didn't have college degrees. And I'm like, I didn't need to go to college to have this job.
Yeah, you're like, this isn't endgame. This is not what we're doing.
So I ended up quitting in 2019. I was just like, something had happened, and I was just like, at my end, I was just like, you know what? It's not worth it. And so I quit, and then I packed my bags and went to Colombia for a week for a business retreat.
Oh, nice.
I really want to be a digital nomad. So again, my trajectory was I always wanted to work online. I was like, I want to travel and work online. So I thought you had to be like a travel creator or something. Not the most outgoing. So I don't know how that, and I was just like, I'm going to be a blogger. Okay. Yeah. Just sign up. Like, I had no business. I had no idea. I was freelancing, but it was never, I didn't take it like as a business. Like, someone's like, I need help with this. And I was like, okay. Or, you know, do this. Like, what, you know what I mean? Very much like there's work, I pick it up, but I didn't take it as a business. So there was no structure. Did that, love that. And I think that really transformed my perspective because I met a ton of entrepreneurs that were around my age.
What was the retreat? Sorry to interrupt. What was the retreat?
Oh, yeah, no, of course. It was, what was it called? So I don't remember what it was called because it was so long ago. Yeah. But it was put on by two like digital nomads / creators. Yeah. So one was like she's a remote work specialist. That's what she titles herself now. And one is a marketing agency owner. And they were pretty new at that time. I think they were a few years into their business. And so it was really like how to cultivate like your messaging and like different ways to like generate. So very much, I would say probably like partly on like the content and understanding your messaging and talking about each other's businesses. And that was kind of a catalyst to kind of get me started. I did not become a travel content creator. Clearly, I do travel.
Did you think the conference was like clarity that you didn't want to do that, or did you try it and then decide you didn't want to do it?
I didn't try it at all. That's been like a big thing for me, that like I have very grand ideas. I'm terrible at times at execution. So I didn't even try it, honestly. And also it was right around, it was like 6 months before COVID really kind of became a thing.
So even if you had wanted to try it, like traveling was not happening.
Yeah. So
it wasn't the timely decision.
Yeah, I didn't know it was coming.
right. Of course not. Yeah.
So I came back home and then I was like, okay, I want to move to Boston. So I don't live in Boston. It's about an hour from where my family lives. So my family helped me move to Boston. I was serving and then I was just applying to jobs in my field. So I knew I wanted to work for myself, but I was like, let me get settled. And I want to use my degree. So I have a degree in communications and Boston pays a lot better than where I'm from. So I was interviewing, I was working a surveying job, and then I was doing my freelance work on the side as well. 2020 March, everything dried up. All my freelance work, like kind of overnight, which I know that happens to a lot of people, all my freelance work, all the interviews I had like second, third round interviews, all were like put on hold or they were just not going forward. And I moved back home because I didn't want to live in a house because I also had a lot of roommates. It was a big house, but I didn't want to live with roommates. So I moved back home after moving out 3 months prior.
Oh my gosh, that's so frustrating.
And so I was home. Didn't really have any money because I'd spent all my money moving. And like I was just getting back on my feet, like, you know, building everything back up. Rent was still due. And my parents were like, we're not going to help you, because that was like kind of like our thing. My parents have always been kind of the backbone to my crazy ideas, emotionally, financially. Like, they are my parachute is what I say. Now I'm older and wiser and I don't do the same thing, but before I would jump and they would catch me. So I'm very lucky, but they're like, we're not going to help you. You know, they're like, you got to figure it out. But I had a place to stay. Like, I was at home and stuff. So I was not destitute. But with that, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have 1 month's worth of rent saved up and there's no work, you know, even if I was going to do freelance for what I was doing. And then, ironically enough, I was not getting unemployment, like, again, a lot of people. So my story is not unique, but I always was thinking about being a virtual assistant. And so someone I became really close with on the retreat was a VA. And the course she took actually ended up doing an extended payment plan. And so I was like, all right. So I put that on my credit card. Didn't know how it was going to turn out. Like, I had no plan, no nothing. Yeah. And kind of the rest is history. I didn't know about online business management until about 4 months after. I didn't love being a VA. I love some of the work. I just didn't love VA work specifically. Like, all the work I did freelance was always high level strategy managing, you know, that was
really, we have very, very different paths, but very similar feelings about like you, I thought it was VA that I was looking for, but it was really online business management. I just didn't know online business manager was a thing at the time. Yeah. So I recently realized, so I host, a business conference for creative entrepreneurs, service and product base. And, at that conference, I felt like uneasy in myself, but it was like, it was working. It was fine. Mm-hmm. I just felt like there wasn't like, my foundation wasn't there, you know, I can do it for everybody. Like do as I say, not as I do. Right. Like I can do it for everybody else. But when it came to mine, it just felt like something wasn't right. And we did this, speed networking part where, everybody, including the people speaking at the conference and attendees, spoke to each other for 3 minutes. And one of the speakers, her name is Melissa. She has a marketing firm and just a wealth of knowledge. She like sits down in front of me and I'm like, I just don't. And she goes, you're an online business manager. And I was like, how'd you know I was going to ask you that? Because I had just felt like calling myself a virtual assistant was bringing in clients that wanted to pay like pennies on the dollar. Right. Like, and when really the work they needed from me was so much more. And every client I felt like I was getting, it felt like what they really needed was systems in place. Like they didn't even really need a VA. They needed somebody that had my skill set to set up their systems and teach them that they could still operate their business, which I'm sure that like you can relate to, like seeing the same thing, like being a virtual assistant, you're just like, you're the assistant. You're like you said, like I have a college degree in communications as well. And a VA isn't the admin assistant, you know, like the, what you were saying, like when you first got that job, like that's, it really resonated. I'm like, man, this sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
So how long did you do the OBM stuff? And then when did you decide to transfer into coaching or, you know, growing?
Yeah, so I, so in 2020, I signed up for a mastermind. Again, I had one client, $13 an hour. And I was like, yeah, let me sign up for a mastermind. And then I took a course because that same course creator, her business manager, created a course. And I was like, this sounds more like what I want to do. So I would say it started about June when I really got into it. I got my first OBM high ticket client in September. And things just started rolling from there. So I would say about a good solid 3 years I was doing OBM work. But again, I was working with really high level entrepreneurs. Like everyone I worked with, 99% were multiple six, seven, and even eight figures, you know.
Was it in a certain industry? Like how were people finding you? Like what was your, how did you navigate that piece of it?
Yeah, so I would not recommend this to anyone listening to don't do this. I did because I'm paying for it now. But I did one strategy one way, and I was in Facebook groups and I just applied to job ops.
Why don't you recommend that?
It's not, I don't recommend that. Well, now the market has changed. That is something that I've been saying for over a year now. Like from when I started to now, it is so different. There's not as much work. I think the work of what people are willing to pay is more that networking, right? Whereas like 2020 to about 2022, we were all online. Like COVID, there was so much happening that people just were needing support and more building. So also entrepreneurship, right? Business ebbs and flows. But the reason why I say not that, it's not the job ops, it's doing the one strategy. That's good, I would say, when you're first starting. But like compared to other people who started around the same time I started, have wildly successful businesses. And obviously you'll have people who, you know, don't make it or whatever. But those are the people I don't follow or compare myself to, you know. I like to be a high achiever with sometimes not the best execution, which I'm probably not selling myself the well, but I promise I will redeem
like
myself.
I completely resonate because it's do as I say, not as I do. Like I can tell you exactly what you need to do. There's like some type of brain block when it comes to doing it for yourself. So you are getting no judgment from here because I feel that in my core. Like I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's why I would say that it's not the strategy I took because it really worked. And I really love Facebook groups. Like I need to put myself out there, but I want to create my own. Like everyone says Facebook groups, well, that's what you hear a lot, are dead or whatever. I don't believe that because I secured a six-figure client from a Facebook group. So right. I'm like, that is not true. But I thought as a very introverted person, Facebook felt less like I need to reach out to people. I have to create content. Mm-hmm. Like if you go on my social media, it's only now that I'm slightly starting to like put actual content out. Mm-hmm. So I would give anyone advice, no matter what service base you're doing, just find at least 2 to 3 ways to market yourself. Even if you don't really know how to do it, because everything is going to be learning. But for me, I got so comfortable with because I was landing, you know, $50, $60, $70.
It was working. So you're why do we need to change a system that's working? Yeah. But when it stopped working, you didn't have anything in place to take over the law. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's exactly. So if
current you could tell past you, what three avenues would you take? Or I guess what would current you tell current you? Cause some of the things have changed. Like you said, the market's different. So what are your three favorite strategy, places to put your content, ways to reach people?
Yeah. So one, Facebook groups. I'm a ride or die Facebook group. So love it. I feel like it is. I just love Facebook. Facebook is my jam. I don't care if it's cryptic. So Facebook definitely, because there's so many targeted groups that it's just, I feel like it's easier, especially if you're new and you can learn so much. So definitely Facebook group specifically. Second, Instagram. Instagram is such a powerhouse if you know how to do it. I'm actually invested in a live coaching / mentorship for Instagram specifically.
Okay, on someone who built. So sorry.
Her name is Avita. Well, the company's name is Avita Social. Her name's Avita.
Okay, cool. Look up, I'll look up Avita if you'll look up Angelica Pompey. She is Angelica is an Instagram guru. She's a marketing guru, but her Instagram game runs deep. So look her up too. You love her. Okay. Yeah. So number three. I want to take a moment and talk to you about Dubsado, an incredible all-in-one business management platform designed to help you streamline your processes, elevate your client experience, and save time on the tasks that matter the most. Dubsado offers a wide range of features, including client relation management, project tackling, invoicing, and so much more. It's the perfect tool to help you grow and manage your business with ease. And because we love Dubsado and our listeners so much, we have a special offer just for you. Use code CassieLane at checkout to get 20% off your first month or year with Dubsado. That's right. You're going to get 20% off when you sign up and you use the code CassieLane. That's CassieLane. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity to simplify your business and focus on what truly matters. Visit Dubsado.com. Dubsado.com and use code CassieLane today. Now let's get back to the conversation.
And the third tip I would say is networking events, especially online ones with other entrepreneurs that you're looking to support. So I've been doing that, and one, it's been super helpful with my elevator speech, but also just meeting people in my niche and other niches. And people who can actually afford your rates. I think that was another big thing that was in the beginning really hard to find.
Yeah.
Even as a VA, people would be like, I was $25 an hour. Mm-hmm. And people are like, can you do 20?
You're like, no, actually I can't.
I don't think there's any other.
And also yes, because everybody's doing that to me and I have to take what I can get at this point.
Yeah. That was part of sometimes I was just like, no. But, you live and you learn. But I would say those are the three that if you're introverted or just getting started.
Yeah. Tell me more about these online networking events. I love a networking event, but obviously I think of in-person stuff. So how are you finding online networking events? Where do you go to find that stuff?
Facebook groups.
Oh my gosh. You're you live and die by a Facebook group.
I do. But I mean, first of all, I've been in them so long at this point. But people are always posting. I mean, I found you through a Facebook group. So.
Right. That is fair. You did. And I did post in a Facebook group. It is working. But as far as networking groups, for me, that seems like it would be really specific to a specific networking group or to a specific group. So I would need to find them first. So am I searching online networking? How am I getting there?
Yeah. So honestly, it's targeted into whatever niche you're in. So I'm in a lot of female entrepreneur and coaching groups. So a lot of different entrepreneurs in those niches are always putting on free events or looking for speakers. So a lot of networking they do. So the one that I have found the most value so far has been from this sales coach, where she does monthly networking. And there's a lot of people on it. It's 2 hours, and I was in her Facebook group. So she had a sales and marketing Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And then she just posted hey, I am, you know, I have this monthly networking event, and it really is just that, a monthly networking online with different entrepreneurs. And she will break you up into groups, usually 2 to 4 people, and then she encourages you to like pitch yourself, and she'll create like a overarching theme for that call. Mm-hmm. And then she does a little bit of teaching, but she doesn't sell anything. She's not like, okay, if you want
to
sign up
to be a part of the networking event.
No, it's totally free.
Oh, nice. And so are these hosted? I'm sorry, I'm like really trying to wrap my brain around this.
No,
so, are these hosted in Zoom, and then you're making mm-hmm. rooms in Zoom like that? Mm-hmm. Those are like your breakout groups.
Yep.
Okay. Are we like bringing snacks and drinks, or like, are we dressing up? What are we doing?
Everybody comes just at this one specifically, cause they're all a little different. This sure. one specifically comes. Come as you are. I mean, there's people who will be on these calls who are driving, people who are home, people who are on their lunch break.
It really does take the burden of like having to have it like on your schedule, and like feeling like, you know, the anxiety of like walking into a room of people you don't know. It like removes all that, because you can just be like making dinner on this call.
Yeah, basically, which is great. But I mean, a lot of people are there, and the last one had a good amount of people. But yeah, it's just different people at different, you know, wherever they're doing. And I've done in-person networking. I tried to do it last summer where I lived, just to kind of get out there, because that was a big block I personally had when I was first starting, mm-hmm. was just networking, getting to know people, because my thought is, the point of networking for your business is the end goal is to get something from them. Right. And though people are like, build authentic, but I'm like, okay, you're building authentic, but authentically you're still, there's, it's an exchange, you know, usually of like information, contacts, services, you know what I mean? So that was my personal block, but now I like, I'm just like, networking is getting to know people, but also being like, if you can support them, just, you know, putting it out there in a non-salesy, just being like, oh, hey, I do this. And I've met a lot of people, and I've gotten clearer on what I can provide for different people, what I like to do, what I don't like to do. And it's really good to be with other rooms and entrepreneurs who work in different spaces, but also similar spaces, to hear, you know.
Yeah. Kind of what they do. In our space, I mentioned the conference earlier, that it's called the Escape Conference. So we, our little catchphrase, I guess, one of the many, is get out of your own echo chamber, because it, as an entrepreneur, you know, we see people all the time who like can't get over hurdles and can't find clarity and can't do the things, but it's because they're only asking the people that know them really well and know their businesses really well, or asking themselves. And it really is, like you said, like it, to find the clarity and to find the move forward, it's always a little bit easier when you're asking somebody who has like no skin in the game, right? Like it's just like this organic interaction. And then you're like, oh, that was so insightful. And then once they tell you, sometimes, like what I have found is like, once they tell you, it's like, oh, duh. Like, why couldn't I see that myself?
Yeah.
Why couldn't I get there? So speaking of clarity and like directions of businesses and stuff, like what do you have coming up? How can we interact with you? Like what's on the docket?
Yeah, so I have been very fortunate. I've been talking with a lot of different people and really figuring out one of the key things that seems like a lot of entrepreneurs that I'm interacting with is clarity, and clarity to kind of give them direction on the next spot. So I'm really focusing on Instagram. You can find me at Shaylee in Business. Pretty straightforward, my name, and then in business. And there's really where I'm working to give more information, really share what my clients are going through and how we're able to find that, those directions. I do operations and business coaching, but I do a bit of a hybrid. So a lot of it is, coming from that service provider viewpoint, which is a bit different than traditional business coaching, from just my personal experience and working. I'm sure you as a service provider understand that as well, of like, we have a different lens, and that's the lens that I bring it. So what I'm doing now is taking on one-on-one clients and supporting them. One of my clients is a podcast client, and she just sold out her launch, had her biggest month with us working together, and we're just doing a lot of things. And I have another client coming on board who is in a different space. They actually know each other. Actually, I know them, who's coming on board. And we're really kind of focusing again on the same things, though. The main issues that my clients have, whether they're year one or five in business, is that lack of direction and clarity. And mm-hmm. I think that's universal for anyone. Nice. So I focus more on the business side, right? So the operations, systems, process, strategy, you know, and then also helping with mindset, which I think is just, I'm not a mindset coach. I tell people that, but like, I understand that. And it's very funny that we never really talk about how mindset really is so important just to execute.
Right. Yeah. And I've been kind of diving in, like we said, like do as I say, not as I do. I've been diving in a lot of like the not as I do piece. Like, well, I need to get over that too, right? Because as your own small business, like you own your business, like you're going to scale at the capacity that you can scale. And so the clarity that you talk about, it really is so important. And the mindset of the structure that you need to have and the discipline, that's something that I'm kind of re-implementing back into my own business. So I absolutely respect what you do. And it's very, very needed. So just happy that you're here. And thanks for being on the podcast. Before we go, because it's the Mastermind Mixer, I think I say that line every single episode for the record. We have to start talking about what we're drinking, what we're hanging out with, our favorite snacks, our favorite drinks. Like, let's do it. What are you doing like after a long day of work?
Honestly, I've been on a coffee kick. So usually sometimes I'm like iced coffee or, honestly just like a Pepsi.
Nice. I love a root beer. So like there is no shade in your Pepsi game because I will get down with a root beer any day, anytime.
Yeah.
So we're having a Pepsi. What do we do for fun outside of our business? What's your like favorite? Do you have a hobby or anything? Like, tell me something that I wouldn't be expecting.
Do I have a hobby? I should have a hobby.
Your hobby is your business. My hobby is my business.
Unfortunately, that is not healthy. I'm working on that. But I'm a big book nerd. People think I'm very surprised. Yeah. Like I go to book conferences and stuff, like very much in the indie book world. Yeah.
So are we, me and the mouse in my pocket, I'm talking about you. Do you read books for pleasure or books for business, or is the answer yes?
Both.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
I read a few books a week for business.
A few books a week?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And you're like, I don't have a hobby. Girl, that is a hobby.
I've been doing it for so long. I don't know. Like if someone was like, what's your hobby? I'm like, travel.
Okay. That's fair. Absolutely a hobby. It's a hobby that I'm trying to pick up, and I've read 2 books for the year and we're halfway through the year. So like, do not discount how much you're reading. Do you have favorites or do you just like consume all the things?
I consume a lot of different things. So I have a very busy mind. Mm-hmm. And so I need things that can really kind of like help me focus and like take my mind off of whatever it's overanalyzing at the moment. So for books, it's really a wide range. Definitely fiction. Mm-hmm. I love business books, but it's hard for me to read them because focus. So I listen to them on Audible. So yeah.
That's such a good tip because I started doing that too. Cause I'm the same way. Like give me fiction all day long. I'll read like, that's not true. I'll read a couple like very specific type of like autobiography type books.
Yeah.
But I really, my co-founder of the conference and my friend, her name's Allie, she reads like all business books. Like she doesn't read for pleasure. She reads for business. And I admire that so much, but I just can't get through them. Like, so I've started listening to them like podcasts instead. And I'm like, okay, I can consume it this way. This still counts.
Yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of books, but yeah, I would say that's a hot tip for anyone. Cause I know a lot of people don't like to read, but if you're like looking to learn, I think that was one of the biggest things that have just at least continue to keep me informed and to get different perspectives where you're not everyone can always invest in coaching, you know, but right. I think it's also really important that as entrepreneurs, we have to just keep investing in ourselves. And that can be an Audible book or a podcast. There's so many ways to learn. That's not always like taking a course or doing one-on-one coaching. Like every business has its ebbs and flows. So mm-hmm. that's something that I always suggest to my clients too. Like very much, how are you keeping yourself you know, education wise in a way that it's moving your business forward, where it's not like a stop, start and go. So
that's so smart.
Love a good book.
I love that tip. I'm so glad I asked you that, because you're like just dropping knowledge bombs left and right over here. Thank you so much for being here. Really, literally the last thing before we go is I want you to tell us again, just reiterate where we can find you online. And I'll also drop all of your links in the show notes for anybody that needs them.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Shaylee in Business. And then I have a link there too to all of my resources. But right now I'm booking one-on-one clients and I have 90-minute consults and 60 and 6-month packages. So definitely something for everyone, but also always here to chat and connect. So if they're just looking to
We'll find you in a Facebook group, girl. Don't you worry. Like,
oh yeah, I could be in any Facebook group. You can't imagine I may be in there. So
I'm gonna like have you when we get off of here, I'm gonna be like, hey, let's be friends on Facebook so you can invite me to all these cool groups that you're in.
Yeah. I love a good, I don't know. I guess it's like my secret, not secret. I don't know. Everyone thinks Instagram, but I'd say you can do both.
Hey, I love that. Thank you again for being here. I am excited for all of the things and we'll see you online.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, you've reached the end of another episode of the Mastermind Mixer. I genuinely hope you enjoyed it and maybe even found a nugget or two of wisdom. If you did, I'd be thrilled if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It's like putting gasoline in my podcast tank. And of course, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And guess what? The show notes are not just a place where words hang out. They're like the VIP section. And there you might find a little surprise, the kind that pairs well with headphones and your favorite podcast. It's the paired drink for the episode. Thanks a million for tuning in. Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay subscribed. Cheers.